You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Good evening, everybody, one and all, and yes, everyone listening. How are you?
We're good. Well.
Was that that was a group, yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was it. Yay, we're okay.
Yay.
I think
we're
so.
Back out of the studio today, aren't we?
I know. So,
yeah, but it's one of those things. At least we can do it like this, which is great.
Yeah.
We've got a great show today, haven't we? We're gonna. It's one of these rushing. We've got a great interview today with Ian Green, haven't we? Soon.
We have, yes. The CEO of the Terence Higgins Trust, he actually leaves post on the 1st of March. So I think it's quite great that we're airing his interview today and, you know, talk about an amazing career, not just at the Terence Higgins Trust, but it's a really great interview. So looking forward to hearing that back.
Cool.
Yeah. How is everybody? How are you, David?
Not so good. I'm waiting a nerve root block injection, which is next Thursday. A little bit sore at the moment, but looking forward to hopefully getting some relief.
Yeah. Must be hard to settle like that, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Anyway, how are you, Sue? Moving on quickly.
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine. I've just put myself a little bit of a winter sun holiday to Tenerife in a couple of weeks. Give myself something to look forward to. So I'm getting the toothbrush and everything ready as we speak. So yeah, looking forward to that. Apart from that work.
Did you go to, you went with Stephen to Ian Green's Leaving Day, did you?
Yes, yeah, that was brilliant. That was at the Royal Vauxhall Tavern. In Vauxhall, and that was really amazing. You know, lots of drinks going around, lots of speeches, lots of people from the HIV sector. And it was a really lovely evening. Ian done his last speech on stage. And of course, Richard Angel done a speech for, you know, who's going to be the new CEO of the Terence Higgins Trust from the 2nd of March. So that was lovely to see them in person for the last time when I'll be seeing Richard. But it was really nice. So it was a lovely evening.
Great. We're going to have Richard on the show actually at some point. So that's good. And your good self, Tony, you got a spring in your step and a glint in your eye.
Do you know what? I think it's spring has sprung. I think it's about to spring. I think there's frost on the ground, but it's warming up. The sap is rising, and I think our shows are going to get from strength to strength. Yes, that's what I'm thinking today. Don't know why. I think just thinking it. Yeah. What about you, Josh? What's going on?
I'm not too bad. Yeah, I'm looking after a dog sitting at the moment, and I've realised that it's a very young dog, beautiful, beautiful dog, Lucy, she's called. But, yeah, she's got a lot of energy, and I haven't.
Yeah.
So the two are kind of not mixing that well. Well, no, there we are. No, get down, Lucy. I'm joking. Leave me alone, Lucy. No, I'm joking.
Oh, bless you. Oh.
I'm letting the listeners have some imagination what's going on.
Beautiful.
But also, I've got to say, actually, I've been accepted for the Drag for the Day workshops, which is
right.
Oh, you talked about that on the last show, didn't you?
Yeah. We're going to have Alan on, actually, who's organising from Sussex Beacon. So he's going to come on. Probably it starts at the end of March. So I think we're all getting we get designated a drag queen each. from the Brighton area, and then we do workshops. So I'll keep posted over the next few weeks. It's not until the end of March anyway. So,
all right, fantastic.
Well, yeah, I'm going to keep that zipped.
Zip it up.
Should we get on with the show?
Shall we?
So we'll have it's the first song's Ian Green's It's a Sin, Pet Shop Boys. And then we'll come back with this amazing interview. So see you on the other side.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hi, this is the HIVR on 97.2 FM. Dear, you'd be in the BrightonArea.com online. You can also get us on our famous podcast. We have an amazing guest in the studio today. I'm going to introduce him, and we're going to hopefully get to know a bit behind the man, as one would say, a bit about, you know, his legacy, what he's been doing. His name is Ian Green. I'm going to introduce Ian Green, and I won't forget, OBE, can we believe it? OBE. Welcome, Ian, to the HIV Hour. So great for you to be here. And we've just played your first song, haven't we, Josh, by the Pet Shop Boys, It's a Sin. Let's just start off with why that particular song, Ian.
Well, Sue and Josh, it's great to be with you. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you during the HIV Hour. Well, first of all, I love the Pet Shop Boys, and I think this is one of their iconic tracks, and takes me back to my sort of earlier days and going out clubbing and, you know, really enjoying some of the sort of the vibe they gave. But for me and my role as Chief Executive of Terence Higgins Trust to have seen the impact of the TV programme It's a Sin, linked to that track in the sort of the 1980s, you know, has really had a massive impact on reconnecting resulting in a new narrative around HIV in people's homes. And so we're so very grateful to Russell T. Davies and for the whole of the cast for the way they portrayed such a sensitive and raw and at times very painful subject in such a passionate and real and meaningful way. And actually, what I loved about the cast of It's a Sin in particular, that overnight they became HIV activists, which was fantastic to see. So that's why It's a Sin I've chosen as one of my tracks for the HIV Hour.
Brilliant.
It's a great track.
It is, isn't it, Josh? It's one of my, even more so, you know, after seeing It's a Sin, it's just, I mean, I loved it beforehand, and it's always been a dance floor filler, hasn't it? So, yeah, great for that. So, Ian, 2016, you joined the Terence Higgins Trust, but not an awful lot of people know that you were doing amazing work before the Terence Higgins Trust, weren't you?
Yeah, so all of my career has been in the charity sector, most of my work up until all of my work up until joining THT was I've worked in different roles in the YMCA movement, and so I was started in London as a housing manager providing homelessness support for young people in housing need. Then I ran a YMCA in the City of London. Then I merged two YMCAs in South West London. I became the regional director of the YMCA, and then eventually I became the national CEO of the YMCA in England, which was a wonderful role, you know, supporting over 120 independent YMCAs and providing them with leadership and resources to do their jobs effectively. And then just before I started at THT, I worked as part of the senior leadership team of the World YMCA based in Geneva, and that was fascinating, just exploring opportunities to strengthen YMCA movements right across the globe, but particularly in Africa and Eastern Europe. But you know, the job that I've has been the most meaningful for me has been the role at Terence Higgins Trust. Yeah,
I definitely. Mean, and am I correct in saying in 1996 you yourself was diagnosed with HIV?
Yeah, so that's right. 1996 in July, I Hadn't been feeling particularly well. I had in May what I now know to be a seroconversion illness, when my body was reacting to the HIV virus. I've gone for lots of tests. I was testing for HIV at least a couple of times a year. I just had a test. My doctor, my GP, who was a good friend of mine as well, said, well, why don't we just try another HIV test just to exclude it? And so I took a HIV test. We were out at a social event over the weekend, and he knew my results already, but of course couldn't say anything to me until I went back into the surgery on the Monday. And he just arranged for a friend of mine to be present. So I was told about my HIV diagnosis then. And 1996, that was a tipping point in terms of HIV, that at that point in time, it was still thought that once diagnosed, you should have about 8 years left to live. Obviously, effective treatment was then becoming available. Yeah, at that point in time, though, that was about lessening the impact of HIV rather than what we know today. Actually, on effective treatment, somebody can have a normal life expectancy. So I was very fortunate that I went on to a trial very, very early on. Within sort of a month of my diagnosis. But the treatment then was very, very different from what it is today.
How did you feel, Ian, when you got the diagnosis?
I always say it was like having a rug pulled from under your feet. So I was, 30, just come up to 31. I'd seen friends of mine become very sick and die. So I knew the impact of HIV. I tried to ensure that I thought about managing my own sexual health appropriately, but that wasn't consistent. It shocked me, it surprised me, and it was like a bit about having a rug pulled from under your feet and not quite knowing what to do. A numbness is what I remember first of all. I mean, my friends were amazing. I had a really close circle of friends, and they showed me a huge amount of support and love. And without them, I wouldn't have got through, certainly the first couple of months of my diagnosis. And also, I became a service user of Terence Higgins Trust.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately phoned THT, and they arranged for me to have 12 weeks of counselling through a linked project called the Red Admiral Project. And that was fantastic. It really just enabled me to talk about how I was feeling. And lots of the issues, and often this is the case with counselling, often the things I talked about in the counselling, but I had very little to do with my HIV diagnosis. It was more about my sort of how I was and some resolves in some sort of issues from the past. But it really did provide me with that that sort of platform in which I could then sort of look forward positively to the rest of my life. But it was a tough time, particularly not knowing at that point in time how effective treatment was going to be.
I'm thinking, if you think back in those days and think now, I mean, what we have now, what's been achieved, what the Terence Higgins Trust has achieved in those four decades. I mean, how do you feel about the progression of, the medication and all the things that have been happening over the last decade or so?
Yeah, I mean, it is quite phenomenal to think about the progress that we have been able to make over such a relatively short period of time, 40 years in the life cycle of a viral infection actually is not long at all. And I've got to pay tribute to the amazing clinicians and the researchers, pharmaceutical companies. I know that it's easy to criticize pharmaceutical companies, but they're the ones that have done the research to make sure that we've got the drugs we do have today. But also the HIV activists and the passion and the commitment and the anger and the visceral response to HIV, and people weren't going to just sit quietly and let loved ones die. So that progress has come at a cost. I mean, I mentioned that I went on to treatment really early on, and I had to take, I think, about 20 tablets a day. Wow. Some were huge, like the size of a horse pill, and the side effects were absolutely horrendous. So, you know, feeling completely lethargic, diarrhea, skin problems, and you know that to maintain that regime was really very, very difficult. And I got at one stage something called lactic acidosis that one of the medications caused, and if that hadn't been found early enough, that could have killed me. So I went off treatment for about 12 months just to recover from that. Mm-hmm. And that was a direct result of the medication and one of the side effects of the medication. And yeah, now I could just take one pill a day. I'm old fashioned. I take three because I've just used the regime. But it's so easy and straightforward. And you know, I know that some people do get side effects, and I don't want to diminish that from anyone, but I don't get any side effects at all. And yeah, it's something that doesn't really impact on a day-to-day basis on my life, and that's been a phenomenal change.
The innovations of PrEP and the injectables is just amazing, isn't it? So it's all new innovations and different ways of taking HIV medication, isn't it? So it's just getting better.
I mean, who would have thought that somebody would have the idea of thinking, okay, there's this HIV medication that we're giving to treat somebody with HIV. I wonder if we gave it to somebody before they came into contact with HIV, their body came into contact with HIV, that actually could protect them from HIV. That's PrEP. that sort of way of thinking has been sort of, you know, incredible to think about. And, you know, we fought long and hard at THT about making sure that PrEP's available on the NHS, and fortunately it now is, without mm-hmm. supposedly any restrictions, although in some parts of the country getting PrEP harder than in other places, and particularly for women and people of colour, and that's something that we need to continue to campaign about.
Yeah. We're going to play one of your second track, aren't we, Josh?
We are indeed, yeah. I listened to this, I haven't heard this version, so I was just listening to it. It's really nice and lovely, isn't it? Do you want to introduce it, Ian?
Yeah, it's Matt Cardle's First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. Do you want to say why it's so important for me?
Please,
go for it.
So this is what we played at my wedding.
Oh, wow.
I met my husband, Paul, 12, 13 years ago now. And this was the song that meant the most to us as we were falling in love with each other. And so when we got married in 2005, as we entered the room at a beautiful hotel in the country that we took over for the day, and seeing our families and friends there, you know, we, as we came, it wasn't an aisle, we walked down the centre of the room. the first time ever I saw your face by Matt Cardle was played. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really nice. That's great. And we'll come back with Ian after this great song.
Radio Reverb 97.2.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour, 97.2 FM and DAB Plus. We're with Ian Green, who's the CEO of Terence Higgins Trust, OBE, sorry, Ian, should say that. yeah, what a great song, lovely song.
Beautiful, very absolutely nice. And the story, I was filling out as you were talking about it, Ian, so that was absolutely beautiful. Now, there must have been so many things throughout your service at the Terence Higgins Trust. What sticks out the most for you? I'm sure there was loads of things, but what you know, we're talking about your lasting legacies. What do you think is sort of literally put that up there for you throughout your service at the Terence Higgins?
I've been thinking a lot about this, as you can imagine, in my final few weeks.
Sure.
Of Terence Higgins Trust, and yeah, in terms of what's been most impactful for me, but also for the organisation. And I think there are three things I just want to reflect on if I can. One is that THT became the first organisation globally to say that somebody on effective HIV treatment with an undetectable viral load can't pass the virus on. We were the first organisation because of we saw the data. Michael Brady, the medical director, and I had a discussion during the Durban International AIDS Conference in 2016, And we were able to say, actually, we've got confidence now to actually say that publicly and robustly. And we've since then developed our Can't Pass It On campaign to actually make sure that that not only people living with HIV understand that with an undetectable viral load, they can't pass the virus on to their sexual partners, but also, more importantly, the general public know that as well. And we've seen a massive uptick in people understanding and knowing that in opinion polling over the course of the last 5 years, with now over 30% of the general public in the most recent YouGov poll saying they understand that U equals U. They don't actually say it in U equals U because of people don't necessarily understand undetectable equals untransmissible. But you know, that people can't pass it on, that actually is something now that has got people know that. There's still an awful lot more that we need to do, particularly with healthcare professionals who aren't HIV specialists, that we'll continue, I know, in the future to make sure that that message is got out there. The second thing, and this is still a journey the organisation's on, is how we tackle sexual health inequalities, both and thinking more broadly about some of the challenges that people have and different communities have in accessing sexual health services, and how as an organisation are we clearly making sure that we understand what it means to be an anti-racist, anti-sexist, a more inclusive organisation. And that's been quite a journey for me personally and for the organisation. And we've not always got things right. But the fact that we've committed ourselves to being an anti-racist and anti-sexist organisation, I think is for me really, really important. And the work that we've done to invest in that area around sexual health inequalities. So that's number two. And number three is the Positive Voices program. And I want to pay tribute to you and to the amazing volunteers who day in, day out go into schools, colleges, the workplace, now in prisons.
Yes.
But tell their stories. And the power of storytelling for me has been so very important in allowing people space just to understand a bit more about the impact of HIV, but also to have some of their preconceived ideas challenged. And I believe that that's going to be the way that in a real and meaningful way we're going to deal with the stigma associated mm-hmm. with HIV. Yeah. If people have experience and have a relationship or contacted or been in the same room as somebody living with HIV and they've listened to their story, and you're able to get across up-to-date sexual health information, information about how people can take responsibility for their sexual health in those sort of settings, but also you tackle stigma because you put a human face to HIV. And so, Sue, you and the rest of your colleagues who lead on, thank you so much for all that you do and continue to do. I'm very, very proud of Positive Voices. So they're my three.
Oh, that's wonderful, Ian. Yeah, I mean, we have just been, you know, as our listeners know, they know, you know, I regularly talk about the Terence Higgins Trust and all the amazing work we're doing and continue to do. We talk often about the project Positive Voices, and you know, and personally I'm so proud to be connected and I'm personally proud that, you know, it's a project now seen throughout the charity, and which, like you said, is going from strength to strength. So thank you for that recognition as well. So Ian, obviously a lot of our listeners, you know some people get used to someone being in charge, whether it's in charge or looking after a particular organisation, especially the Terence Higgins Trust, which is loved and respected throughout the UK. We have many, many, many of our listeners tuning in, knowing all about the Terence Higgins Trust, access a lot of the services, you know, living with HIV, accessing the counselling and what have you. Now, obviously, everyone's hearing your good self is going. And obviously, people are thinking, I mean, we know as an internal organisation, who's going to be taking over the crown, as one would say. what I want to ask you to perhaps tell our listeners, are you going to be handing over your crown to someone just as amazing as you? Tell us about that.
Yes, I am. And I'm delighted to say that that following a really robust recruitment process, Richard Angel, who's our current campaigns director, has been appointed as a new chief executive of Terence Higgins Trust. So, we have some incredible candidates. I had no involvement in the process at all. It's not appropriate. But the trustees were really, really impressed with Richard's passion, his drive, his determination. And he's going to take the organisation into different spaces and different places. And that's really, really important. He's a policy and advocacy specialist by background. So that's going to be obviously a continued focus. But I know he's also passionate about tackling stigma and also making sure that we're looking at how we are expanding our work around sexual and reproductive health as well. And it's going to be very, very sad for me to leave THT, but I've done 7 years and I think that's about in right that amount of time.
Good innings.
Good innings. You're quite right.
Good innings.
Yeah. I've done normally about 6 or 7 years in every role that I've done. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the good things about hopefully a good leader is to know when it's time to go. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to the chair of the board for about sort of 8 or 9 months now to say, I think I'm getting near to the time when I'd like to do something different. That was the right time for me. And to be recognised with an OBE in the New Year's Honours was just the icing on the cake.
That was literally the cherry on the top, wasn't it? I mean, how amazing. When you got that news, how did you feel, Ian?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Well, I didn't believe it at first because I thought I thought it was a spam email. So an email came in and I generally, if I see things, I just delete them. Because it came into my personal email account as well, not to my work email account. But then when I read it, I felt incredibly humble. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody or people often say this when they receive a recognition in the honours list. The second thing is that I couldn't have done that without so many people and their amazing support. And so you know as a staff member at THT that it's a really interesting group of passionate, excited, exciting, professional, committed individuals. Sometimes not easy to manage. If you get a group of activists coming together, that creates tension and challenge. But I couldn't have done what I've achieved in the last 7 years without an amazing group of colleagues. And that is partly to recognise them mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, definitely. So what's the future for Ian Green then?
I would love to say I'm going to be doing a bit of resting and a bit of gardening. I generally am wanting to spend more time with my husband because of he's also been incredible in terms of giving me the freedom do what I've been able to over the last 7 years. That I've just been appointed a chair of an NHS trust at Salisbury, so Salisbury Hospital. So wow. I've already started that on the 1st of February. So that's going to take up a couple of days a week and a couple of other non-executive roles. And I'm going to be doing some work with an organisation called Prevention Access Campaign, which is the global You Equals You movement. So my friend Bruce Richman and I are going to do a bit of work together. I'm providing with them with a bit of consultancy support. So I'm going to remain in the HIV space as well, but on an international level rather than a local level. People will still see me around and about. As somebody living with HIV, I'm still going to be making sure that I support THT, but from a distance.
Sure. Absolutely amazing.
I think that if we thought 40 years ago that we could now even be thinking about the prospect of ending new HIV transmissions, I mean, I don't think, well, I certainly wouldn't have believed that. That people say to me, what motivates you on a daily basis in your work at Terence Higgins Trust? And I always say to people that I don't want another, any more 30-year-old young people to have to go through being told they got a HIV diagnosis. And so the real focus has been over the course of, you know, the last 3 years with the HIV Commission that we sponsored with the National AIDS Trust and Elton John AIDS Foundation, to really focus on what we need to do to end new HIV transmissions in the UK and, you know, eventually globally. And the most amazing thing is we've got all the tools in the toolbox in order to do it. You know, that the if we know that if people get tested and if they have a positive diagnosis and go on to treatment, for the vast majority of people, they get an undetectable viral load very quickly. And that means it's impossible for them to pass the virus on to their sexual partners. We also know that condom use is still a really effective tool to protect against HIV. PrEP, if somebody is HIV negative and they want to stay HIV negative and they're sexually active, take PrEP. That is just, and it's available readily on the NHS. And if people are struggling to get it, contact us and we'll try and point you in the right direction. And, you know, that normalising HIV testing is the starting point for that. And so delighted now that people in accident and emergency departments in London, Brighton, Blackpool and Greater Manchester have access to or are tested for HIV as part of their normal blood screening when blood is taken from them. And already there's been over 200 people have been newly diagnosed with HIV through that programme that's been running since April. So 200 people that otherwise wouldn't have known or would have been diagnosed later with HIV have had a HIV diagnosis. And so that genuinely is saving people's lives.
Absolutely.
So that's amazing. So ending HIV transmission is something we absolutely can do. And that's just amazing to think of that within 40 years. So 2030, I'll still be making sure I'm banging on doors to make sure that 2030 target is achieved.
Can I ask you a question? How do you, your heterosexual community, they are quite the biggest people getting HIV, aren't they now, contracting it? How do we get to those people
I think that the message for me is about and yes, there are communities more impacted by HIV, you know, gay men and other men who have sex with men, people from Black African communities, but you know, let's not forget that as the numbers get smaller, actually it's going to be really important that we do more communicating to the wider community. And so what I always say to people is, you know your status. You know, it doesn't take long. You know, we just had HIV testing week. We ran out of test kits halfway through the week, which is amazing. We had to go and ask the government for some more money to get more test kits. Fantastic. Because of actually the message should be, know your HIV status. If you've been at all sexually active, it's good to know. And you know, the destigmatising HIV is part of that. And so that's how we are going to end new HIV transmissions, is by making sure that people know their HIV status.
Yeah. Brilliant. That's so good. Thank you.
We just want to say thank you so much, first of all, for what you have done. What you've done within the Terence Higgins Trust and what you've achieved, and everyone at the HIV, everybody in the HIV community is literally, I know, bowing their heads and their hats and just to say thank you. And we at the HIV want to say a really great thank you, and we want to wish you so much luck and in everything else in what you do next. And
Sue and Josh, thank you so much for that. It's been a pleasure being with you, and thank you for the work you do on the HIV Hour. The HIV Hour positively helping to change hearts and minds.
And we're just thinking, obviously, on your last song. First of all, I mean, Candy Staten. I mean, I remember again dancing up to Candy Staten. Tell us why you've chosen this last one.
Oh, well, this is a moving one. So I had a really good friend of mine who, I mean, I loved him to bits, and we used to go out clubbing, and this was our song that when Young Hearts Run Free came on, that we would be on the dance floor no matter where we were, even if we've got our bags and our coats and about to leave, we'd come back and put them on the floor, and we'd have to be on the dance floor. He died of an AIDS-related illness over 20 years ago now. So his heart is running free, and I miss him every day.
Yeah, it's a great track as well.
Absolutely.
A powerful track, isn't it? Great stuff. Thank you, Ian. Yeah, we play out with Young Hearts Run Free, Kelly Staton.
Hello, welcome back. That was Young Hearts Run Free by Candy Staton. You're listening to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM and in the Brighton area and on DAB Plus Radio.
So we got some, that was a great interview with Ian, wasn't it? So, such a nice...
Yeah, he's a lovely man.
Yeah, it's good. Nice send off. It's nice to give back, isn't it? And give.
Definitely.
It's nice to have that. And he's got a bit personal, isn't it? That interview. But we've got some community news first. You first, David.
Yeah, so this is really international news. So yesterday was Zero Discrimination Day, which is organised by the UN, and UNAIDS in particular have focused the day on saving lives and decriminalise, because around the world there's an amazing amount of barriers to testing and with things like, you know, discriminatory laws around HIV. So, for example, in lots of countries, you know, you can't get tested for HIV if you're under 16 without parental consent. So that stops young people from getting tested and being responsible for their HIV. And in certain countries, it's, you know, in America, there's lots of states where it's illegal to spit at a policeman because of the fear of passing on HIV, even though HIV can't be transmitted by spitting, but it's been written into the law. So, you know, there's over 134 countries explicitly criminalizing or otherwise prosecuting HIV exposure, non-disclosure or transmission. So even not telling people that you're HIV positive is a criminal offense in lots of countries. Of course, lots of countries it's illegal to enter in same-sex relationships, which again is preventing people from getting tested and coming forward and getting onto treatment and saving lives. So getting rid of the discriminatory laws really would help end HIV as a global pandemic.
Yeah, these are really important to commemorate, aren't they, these days. There's also HIV is not a crime awareness day. So that's similar, yeah, isn't it?
Very much connected. That's in the United States, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's in collaboration with the Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation. So that's, again, what you were saying, David, to amplify the voices of those who've criminalised based on their HIV status. So it's good to have these highlighted, isn't it? So
yes, we've got International Women's Day next week. So I know there's lots of things and events going on to support that. And of course, on the 18th of March, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, we have the Stigma March happening in London, and the troops are rallying throughout the HIV sector. And I think it's going to be a grand force of the voice, you know, trying to break down stigma. So, yeah, if you're interested in that, I'm sure it's on all the socials on how you can go there, get involved and meet up. So, yes, that's the 18th of March in London.
Are you going?
Unfortunately, because I go away on the 16th of March on holiday, so unfortunately I won't be able to attend, but I'll be attendant in spirit, as one would say, and thinking about everybody and why people are doing it, why we have to do it on the day.
Yeah, sounds good. So I've got some there's some work and skills webinars coming from THT. So there's a set of three workshops covering successful CV writing, application forms and interview techniques, which are really important, actually, to go on to them. So that's the THT. If you go onto the THT website and go to the Living Well section, it's got a work and skills. It's got all what's coming up. There's also a work and benefits workshop, and that's on Thursday, the 23rd of March. So if you're worried, if you want to sort out some benefits and you want to just know how to do it, then that's a good one to do. There's a thing called Common Bond. These are all for Terence Higgins Trust. So it's a THT women's group, and that's the next meeting. It's Tuesday, the 21st of March, and that's celebrating International Women's Day. And another one, Growing Older and Living Well with HIV, another workshop. They're looking for a representative range of people living with HIV to support the development of three new pilot program people for people over 50. So if you're interested, go onto the website, tht.org.uk. And that's on there. Anything from the Worthing Hub, Tony?
We are doing our Tuesday morning or Tuesday lunchtime meetings, which is 12 till 2. Just message us at theworthinghub@gmail.com. Or all social media. Yeah, we'll put it on the website as well. So yeah,
That's good. I think we've come to the end of the show really today. It seems really short when we've got an interview, isn't it? No, actually, I just remembered. Actually, I'm doing. There's a second thing of Bears at the Bully at the Bulldog, which is that's on the 4th of March. 20% discount on drinks. It's all for charity, for Sussex Beacon and the Rainbow Fund. Just come along for a bob, and it starts at 9 o'clock. And that's this Saturday coming. Right. I was waiting for me to say. Right.
Oh, I'm decorating this weekend, Josh.
Oh, good. What are you decorating?
As I may have already mentioned on the show, I'm going to be a very young grandmother this summer.
Of course.
Did you notice I said a very young grandmother? Did you know I'm going to be a grandmother, Tony?
I did. I've seen it on your socials, and I'm very shocked because you can only be at least 19 and three quarters.
That's what I thought. I'm very young. I'm very young. My daughter's going to be calling me the glam nam. The glam nam. But no, basically, just quickly, I'm going to be painting some of the baby's room this weekend and lending some of my skills to, so I'm going to be doing that this Sunday, so I'm quite looking forward to that.
What are you wearing?
Ooh, something. something very old. A plastic suit.
Wear a little bit more than when you go your cycling trip, babe.
Anyway, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks for listening, and
take care, everybody. Nice weekend,
everybody.
Take care. Bye.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news, and views on living positively with the virus.